Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas, with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super-serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. Listen up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Do you remember back a couple of years ago, we had on the show Dr. Brian Callister. He was leading a coalition against assisted suicide. And we have another legislative session wrapping up week number three today in Carson City, the 80th Nevada Legislature. And joining us again, Dr. Brian Callister, leading the coalition against the assisted suicide bill. It is SB 165. Dr. Callister, good to have you with us. It's been a while.
It has, and it's great to be back with you, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
Tell me what SB 165 is, what it does, and how is it differed from other similar proposals that we've seen in Carson City?
Well, SB 165 is designed as a law to allow a physician to prescribe a lethal medication to end someone's life. It says that the person should be declared terminal by a doctor, and there needs to be a second doctor to certify this with 6 months or less to live. It also puts this in the category of, quote, medical treatment, unquote, which we can get to later, but I'm not sure how that plays in other than it gives you another reason for an insurance company to offer it as a medical treatment instead of something that might actually help you. And finally, it also describes terminal illness just as that. It does not say whether it's with or without treatment. It just says somebody who has an incurable or irreversible disease that is thought to be terminal by the opinion of their doctor qualifies for these lethal pills. It doesn't have to be witnessed. In fact, there's no requirement. When you take the pills, in order to get the pills, you have to have two witnesses, only one of which doesn't have to be a relative or someone who stands to inherit from you. So you could have a freeloading grandson and his girlfriend, who's not related, be the two witnesses for granny. And then once they get the pills, a relative could even be a designee to pick up the pills. So we think it's really ripe for abuse. The proponents of this, as you may recall from a few years ago, like to point to Oregon, where this has been legal for 20 years, and they like to say it's just been going swimmingly. But nothing could be further from the truth. There is lots and lots of examples of sadly abuse, and not just on the elder side, but also just the whole reason why people take these pills. You'll hear in the coming days, because a hearing is scheduled for Monday, you'll hear people get up and go over and over about how this is about freedom of choice, and it's to end insufferable and unending pain at the end of life. And on the surface, that sounds great. But in reality, in 20 years of Oregon data, Kevin, only 20% of the people who did assisted suicide, only 20% listed pain or even fear of future pain as the reason they got the pills. In fact, the top reasons for taking the suicide pills in Oregon over 20 years are burden to family, loss of enjoyment and usual activities, and loss of autonomy. Now, those are serious social problems that need to be addressed. But last time I checked, they weren't good reasons to kill yourself. And, you know, this quote, medical aid in dying, which they're calling it, I think that's just candy coating what this is. This is physician-assisted suicide, plain and simple.
I want to ask you, because I find it rather ironic, that a lot of the same people who would protest capital punishment and even the drug companies who don't want to be identified as a company that provides something that's going to execute a serial rapist murderer, that they're fine with this. They're fine with ending life like this, but not for the murderers and the rapists that end up on death row. Is that unusual?
No, it's not. But as you so keenly identified, it's doggone absurd. Not just the capital punishment thing. It's let's end capital punishment. But by the way, Granny, you no longer have value. So let's get rid of you here. It's absolutely insane. And, you know, I look at general suicide as another absurdity. We're talking about a suicide epidemic in the general population, especially in veterans and teenagers. And here we're trying to take that on from a public health perspective, I think appropriately. And then we're turning around and saying, well, on the other hand, if you meet these other criteria, go ahead and off yourself. You know, pain is not the reason most people do this. And quite honestly, in 2019, if you have unending pain at the end of life, I'm going to look you in the eye and say you have the wrong doctor. We have the capability of taking care of your pain at the end of life. The other sad part is on the 6 months to live, Kevin, we're very good at giving you a diagnosis. We're notoriously bad as physicians in predicting how long you have, and in particular, how much quality time you have. I put people on hospice all the time, which is also 6 months. I take them off all the time when they outlive their prognosis. In fact, the national number for that, 18% of hospice patients come off because they're doing so well. And one other quick thought on the suicide thing you brought up to go with capital punishment. In Oregon, it's very interesting. The proponents will say, well, general suicide rates went up in Oregon, but only because they went up like the rest of the country has, and it's not really related to the assisted suicide law. Well, I say baloney on that. If you look at the numbers in Oregon for the first 15 years after they passed the suicide law, their general suicide rate went up by 48%. The national rate went up, sadly, by 23%. But Oregon's rate of increase in general suicide more than doubled the national rate of increase in the time frame after they passed this bill.
That is incredible. Dr. Brian Callister joining us. He is leading the Coalition Against Assisted Suicide. I want to ask you, we know that you are against SB 165. Who's for it? Is it insurance companies or who is it that's backing this?
Well, I'll tell you, the main group that's backing this, Kevin, which is heavily, heavily funded and has lots of employed professional lobbyists, is called Compassion and Choices. And it's generally funded by, I believe, very rich elites who think we live too long and we shouldn't be spending this money near the end of life. Compassion and Choices, Kevin, was founded by a guy named Derek Humphrey, who you may recall was the founder of the Hemlock Society. And Hemlock Society has basically morphed into this Compassion and Choices. Probably a good thing they changed the name, because hemlock's a poison. Doesn't sound as nice. But I'll tell you, Derek Humphrey, who founded this proponent movement, wrote in his own book, in the final analysis, economics, not the quest for broadened individual liberties or increased autonomy, but economics will drive assisted suicide to the plateau of acceptable practice. And that's simply because it's cheaper to give you a bunch of pills and kill you than it is to treat you.
I want to ask you, because one of the in studies that have been done on SB 165, what they say is that the people who are going to be hurt most by this bill, the folks that would be in particular danger, are the so-called marginalized individuals, the poor, hardworking people, that they would be in particular danger. Why?
Well, two reasons. They don't have the resources always to fight insurance decisions. You may recall I had two cases I shared with you the last time around. One patient from California and one patient from Oregon we were trying to transfer. And both times when speaking with the insurance medical directors about the transfer and the treatment, and by the way, the treatment was a standardized treatment, not experimental, and would have been curative, not palliative, curative 50 to 70% of the time in both cases. And these two patients of mine, the insurance medical director said, you know, Brian, we're not going to cover the procedure or the transfer, but by the way, have you talked to him about assisted suicide? You know, I was stunned. And they said, well, it's legal here. And what's really sad, Kevin, is when I brought this to light, and this is where it really affects the poor and marginalized, they're not going to have always the wherewithal or resources to fight those kind of decisions. This creates a perverse incentive for insurance companies to deny you life-saving treatment. And, of course, they claim there's no cause and effect. They'll say, and they have, oh, we deny things all the time. We approve things all the time. There's no correlation here. Well, if you're that naive, I got some swampland in Florida for you, too.
Give us the update on the hearing, when and where, and what is it you want folks to do? People that oppose assisted suicide in SB 165. What is it you're asking of them?
Two things, Kevin, and thank you for asking. Please go online to the legislative website where you can submit your electronic opinion. You can leave a comment, but you don't have to. You can just say for or against the bill. It's easily found on the legislative website, SB 165, and register an opinion, a vote against. The legislators really do look at this, and I think it's important that everybody do that. It's also important that you pick up the phone and call or email both your senator and your assemblyman. As far as the hearing is scheduled in the Senate committee this coming Monday at 3 p.m., and I know they have tele-access from Las Vegas, as well as the live hearing in Carson City. And, you know, if people are around and want to show their support against this travesty, please think about showing up. So SB 165, Senate Health and Human Services Committee, Monday at 3 p.m. Senator Parks down there is the sponsor. And, you know, one other comment I'd like to make real quick, Kevin. You know, you asked about the proponents. Compassion and Choices pushes this, and time again, they find people who have had bad experiences with death. And I believe they play on their emotions and try to make it sound like this is a nice little utopia so they'll never have to have a bad experience with death again. And I think that is just wrong on every level. So you're going to see a combination of professional lobbyists and doctors there for the proponents and a whole bunch of people who sincerely believe that they should be able to do this because they had a bad experience with death at some point. And once again, that is sad because we have the ability to control your symptoms well at the end of life with palliative care and hospice.
And I'm assuming that we will hear from you on Monday?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Dr. Kouster, thank you so much. Always good to visit with you. We will keep track of SB 165. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Pleasure. pleasure to be here, Kevin. And one last thing I always have to say, these views I've expressed are my own and not necessarily that of anybody else. So thanks a lot, Kevin.
Fair enough. Dr. Brian Callister joining us. He's lining up against SB 165. That hearing next Monday, 3 p.m. Senate committee will be dealing with this. Stick around. More to do as we continue. I need to take a break. I'm running way late, as I sometimes am wont to do. My name is Kevin Wall. It is Thursday, inching ever closer to the weekend, live and local now.
My fellow Nevadans, have you been wanting to start a new business but just don't know where to start? Do you have dreams of being independent and free to use your creativity? I'm Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. It's our mission to help small business owners get their doors open. This year, the Taylor Consulting Group is celebrating our 10-year anniversary. To date, we have helped over 1,000 small businesses get started here in our great state of Nevada. If you want to open a tavern, a supper club, a cafe, or a banquet facility, we can help. Our firm specializes in gaming licensing, liquor licensing, zoning matters, and government affairs. We are your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access healthcare. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
Hello, this is Brent Jones again, owner of Real Water and Real MMA. As a Nevada businessman, I understand how difficult it can be to stay in business and remain profitable. Taxation, excessive regulation, employment issues, lawsuits, competition, increases in supply cost. The list goes on. That is why a group of concerned business owners formed the Real Chamber of Commerce. We need a pro-business environment in our great state. Unfortunately, taxes have increased dramatically this past year, and regulation just keeps increasing, making it harder and harder to make ends meet. We must take Nevada back. The Real Chamber will work hard on your behalf to fight against additional tax increases and more regulation. You need a chamber that is truly on your side. That is the Real Chamber of Commerce. Please, join Real Water and other concerned business owners. Get involved and help take Nevada back. For more information, go to realchamberofcommerce.com. That's realchamberofcommerce.com or call 702-521-0632.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Welcome
tweeting out over the break, Dr. Ben Carson, coming up bottom of the hour. He is the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, he's one of the cabinet secretaries I guess the president likes. In fact, Dr. Carson may end up with the longest tenure of any secretary, cabinet secretary, in the Trump administration. Man, that's weird. Now, I absolutely loved it. Because the president has made no bones of the fact that Andrew McCabe is a liar. A liar. And in fact, the president, did you see this yesterday? Let's go to cut one. As the president ripped Andrew McCabe, I mean, it was ugly.
Well, I think Andrew McCabe has made a fool out of himself over the last couple of days, and he really looks to me like sort of a poor man's J. Edgar Hoover. He's I think he's a disaster. And what he was trying to do was terrible, and he was caught. I'm very proud to say we caught him. So we'll see what happens, but he is a disgraced man. He was terminated, not by me, he was terminated by others. The IG report was a disaster from his standpoint. Anybody reading the IG report would say, how could a man like this be involved with the FBI? And the FBI has some of the greatest people, some of the finest people you'll ever meet.
Okay. So here is the response from Andrew McCabe to the President of the United States.
You think someday you'll get used to this, and on some level you never do. I've been listening to the president lie about me since October of 2016, and he somehow finds new ways to do it. I mean, just 2 days ago, he tweeted that he had never said anything bad about my wife, which is remarkable. He's been calling her a criminal and corrupt for 2 years now. It's horrendous. But this one was really interesting to me. The president, and you know, he goes to his tried and true, you're a disgrace, you're a disaster, those things that he likes to say. But in this one, he actually starts talking about the IG investigation, seems to make some effort to distance himself in a way from my firing, in a way that I find to be just patently ridiculous.
Do you think there's a direct line between his statements and the tone he set about you and around the IG report into you that affected the outcome?
Well, here's what I'll say, Nicole. Yeah, it was curious and certainly concerning to me when the president brought me up to Jim Comey on three separate occasions in those private meetings. He'd say things to Jim like, what's the story with that deputy director of yours? Does he have a problem with me?
Just so you know, Andrew McCabe is a certifiable liar. He's lied to Congress. He's lied to his bosses at the FBI and the Department of Justice. This guy's trouble. And now he's out trying to hawk a book. Coming up, Dr. Ben Carson, HUD Secretary. He is in Southern Nevada even as we speak. Why? Find out in just a couple minutes. Live and local now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada. And in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. Good to have you with us. It snowed last night big time here in Southern Nevada. It always snows in Northern Nevada in Ely. In fact, we were off the air for a day or two in Reno and Sparks and Carson City. Welcome back to all my friends in Reno and Sparks and Carson City. You want to join us? You know what we do in this final half hour? It's called our wall-to-wall free-for-all. You get a chance to talk about what's important to you. we give you the opportunity to change topics. It's okay. While we are lining you up and getting you ready, I want you to hear Dr. Ben Carson. He is in town today in Southern Nevada to talk about opportunity zones. What, pray tell, are opportunity zones? We had a chance to talk to Dr. Ben Carson earlier today.
Opportunity zones are a fabulous thing that was created by the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And governors in all 50 states and all the territories in Washington, D.C. have opportunity to designate the economically distressed areas. And you can now take unrealized capital gains and invest them into capital funds that will take on projects in those areas, and it reduces your tax burden. If you leave it in for, 5 years, you get a 10% reduction in the capital gains that you would have owed on the initial investment. If you leave it in for 7, 15%. If you leave it in for 10, you have to pay no capital gains at all on the gain from the investment, not the original investment, but from the gain from the investment. So it turns out to be a tremendous tax advantage, but more important than that, it pours a lot of money, it's estimated over $100 billion, into areas that normally are neglected, that no one really has any interest in.
Dr. Carson, let me ask you, you have been a beacon of goodness, shall we say, in an administration that has run through cabinet secretaries at a pretty quick rate. You have been the best of the best of the cabinet secretaries. Can I ask you what it is like working in the Trump administration? Because I understand he can be tough on people.
He's actually extremely nice, has a tremendous sense of humor. Most people don't get to see that part of him because he's always under attack. He's responding to that. But when he's not doing that, he's very good. And really is a person who wants to do for this country. And I think all you have to do is go back to an interview he did with Oprah about 30 years ago when she asked him if he would ever run for president. He said, I wouldn't really want to do that. The only circumstance under which I would even consider such a thing is if the country was completely going off the cliff and we needed to do something to save it. And I think that's what he actually believes that he's doing. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it, quite frankly.
You know, we have on this radio program talked a lot about the accomplishments of the president in the year 2018 and all of the tax cuts and all the things that he has done. But we have not yet talked about what you've done at HUD in a very short period of time. Can you talk a little bit about your 2018 accomplishments at HUD, which is probably not the easiest job in the administration? Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that you've accomplished?
Well, thank you for asking that. You know, no one ever likes to talk about what's good. I always like to talk about what's bad. And I would encourage people to go to HUD.gov and look at some of the stuff that we've done. We've got a whole list of them. But, you know, we've protected the taxpayer. We've brought on a CFO. We hadn't had a chief financial officer for 8.5 years. So now we've put various financial controls in place. We've removed a lot of the regulatory barriers so that things can be done much faster and much more efficiently. We're putting much greater emphasis on creating affordable housing. We've decreased veterans' homelessness just over the last year by 5.4%, decreased homelessness in families with children. And, you know, we are the lead agency, obviously, for the opportunity zones. So, but please go to the website because there's a voluminous amount of stuff that's been accomplished. What I tell the president all the time is you go out and take the fire and we'll get the stuff done.
There you go. There you go. I want to ask you, because you mentioned homelessness, and it's come up. They're talking about it in Carson City in the legislature. It has been a topic of conversation in city elections here, and that is that issue of homelessness. And the debate always seems to be, is there a role for government, city, state, county, federal, for this, or is this something better served by the charitable community, by churches, folks like that?
Well, you know, it's not just the federal government's problem; it's everybody's problem. State, local, nonprofits, faith-based organizations, all together. That's where the real success comes in. And some of the places that I've visited around the country that have really encouraged me are the places where you have smooth operating of those groups together. One of the things that's very distressing to me is some of the divisiveness that's based on politics. And one of the things that we'll be doing while we're here in Las Vegas is going on a tour of the Rose Gardens senior housing facility, which was a rad, and it is dilapidated now. It's really, I think we're going to find a lot of very happy residents. Move the cap on rad altogether. Right now, there's a national cap of 455,000 units. It's encouraged Congress to remove that cap altogether.
In our final couple of minutes, I want to ask you, because I was so impressed when you were here with us in studio, and you did multiple interviews, and you were so gentle, so genteel, I guess you would say, and in an era when flamboyance is rewarded on the national stage, you look at what the Democrat presidential wannabes are doing. I'm curious, from your perspective, is there a way to turn the discourse into a little more civil conversation?
It's going to be difficult because of the media, not you, of course. But, you know, some of the mainstream media, the only thing they're interested in is how many clicks are they going to get? How many eyeballs are they going to get? Not even being cognizant of the damage that some of the things that they are advocating is causing. And until they learn, I speak to every young journalist I see, and I tell them about the rich history of journalism and objectivity and why we've lost it and how they can be on the vanguard of restoring it. So I haven't completely given up hope on that.
And Dr. Carson, our final question, did you ever think you'd have to come to Las Vegas to see snow?
Well, you know, it's a part of Americana.
I guess so. You see it in D.C. all the time, but you don't normally come to Southern Nevada to see snow. Dr. Carson, thanks so much. Enjoy your visit. If you can, before you leave, if you can leave a nice cash stipend at one of our local casinos, I won't have to pay state income tax. Thank you. It's always good
Absolutely.
To have you on, man. Thank you so much. You have a great stay.
Thank you.
There you have it, Dr. Ben Carson, earlier today on Live and Local Now. Maybe he will leave a donation, a cash stipend, if you will. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? We're going to get to your phone calls coming up. You know what we do in this final half hour? We talk with you about what matters to you. Here's the number, 844, the number 2, Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, Live and Local, now.
Councilman Steve Soroka ran on a promise of settling the issues regarding Badlands Golf Course, that he would work with all parties to solve the issues once and for all. That promise was empty. All he has done since his election is delay and obstruct any attempts toward a solution. Though the owners of the property are willing to meet anytime, anywhere to discuss the issue, Councilman Soroka has met with them once. Doesn't sound like someone who is working toward a solution. His refusal to resolve the matter not only leaves a huge undeveloped area in the middle of the district, but has left the taxpayers on the hook for possible endless legal bills and huge damage awards, while killing the opportunity for hundreds of jobs and millions in economic activity in the process. Enough is enough. It's time to put an end to this once and for all and recall Steve Soroka and elect someone who will solve problems and not compound them. To learn more about the issue and how you can be involved, please visit StopSoroka.com. StopSoroka.com. This ad was paid for by the committee to recall Councilman Steve Soroka.
It's the one day every year when fat is great. It's Fat Tuesday, and it's returning to Rhythm Kitchen. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Tuesday, March 5th, it's the 10th annual All-You-Can-Eat Fat Tuesday celebration. You'll enjoy Alaska snow crab legs, fresh Louisiana crawfish boil, catfish, fried shrimp, blackened chicken pasta, red beans and rice, plus Rhythm Kitchen's world-famous beignets and bread pudding, all served with salad and jambalaya. And be sure to ask about Rhythm Kitchen's Mardi Gras drink specials. Oh, and did I mention? Breathtaking views of the Las Vegas Strip, all for just $42 per person. You don't need reservations, but seating is limited and begins at 5 p.m. Check out this amazing Fat Tuesday Mardi Gras buffet at RhythmKitchenSeafoodAndSteaks.com. Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks is conveniently located on South Decatur, just off the 215. Call 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. In fact, you can enroll up until February 28th for a March 1st effective date. Anyone who's paid on a 1099, has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or is a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casale, at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449, and find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed, not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. Your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I'm live and local now. We'll wrap up week three of the 80th Nevada Legislature. Good, bad, and the ugly. We'll have it all for you tomorrow. Daniel Honcharu from Nevada Policy will join us in Carson City. This will be fun. Tell you what, let's do. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're up on our wall-to-wall free-for-all. What do you want to talk about today?
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. A question that you said earlier, what's this rush to judgment all about? What I think it is, it's all about Trump. Now, I can't pinpoint what happened back in 96 with Richard Jewell. I really can't. But the recent developments with the kid, with the American Indian, that was a thing where the media jumped all over it, saying, "Oh, this white Catholic youth is, and he's wearing a Trump hat. He's racist against American Indians." And this latest thing with the black gay actor that said that Trump supporters were, you know, had a noose and all this stuff. Again, whoa, we got to jump all over this because the media hates Trump. They just hate him. And they say, oh, well, now Trump supporters, they hate black people and they hate gay people. So it's all about Trump. The media, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever they could jump on Trump and his supporters, they love it. This is what they live for.
Well, it's,
No, Kevin.
But the deal is, this is the new narrative. And if you have any story out there, whether it's the University of Virginia, the Duke lacrosse team, whatever it is, if it fits that narrative, you run with it. And that's what's so sad about it. Frank, you're next, and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Mr. Wall, do you still cling to the notion that this is the land of the free?
And the home of the brave? You betcha.
Wow. I know for a fact, I saw it in San Diego a generation ago. A lady put her one of her kidneys up for sale, and the want ads, she was arrested. But to come to the point, great actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman, another great actor slash comedian, two talents. I don't know why people feel bad for him. They went out on cloud nine. We all want to die in our sleep. As kids, we talked about how do you want to go? But we don't get that choice. Why do people want to take that choice away from me? Good day, sir.
There you go. That's what SB 165, assisted suicide, that's what it's all about. Let's go to Will. Will, you're next, and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Will, what's happening, man?
I think the question should be what's not happening, in my opinion. I've never seen it. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie or something, one twisted event after another. I want to bring up two points. One on the Catholic children, right? I support the children. I think you know that. But let's not forget that this is a 17-year-old child. I can't stress enough to you people that love your children. The school districts are completely out of line. The public educational system, the public unions are just—they've gone off the edge, and they're using children.
And by the way, you're talking about Covington Catholic,
and
Nick,
yes,
and Nick Sandman. Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is that everybody's using the children as a means of streaming or reoccurring revenue everywhere you go now. Now they're putting them in the front of very controversial, emotional issues that are uncertain in their outcome. And I mean, but I support the children. I'm trying to get people to realize they're taking your children from you like some Pied Piper mythological song or something. We've never seen like this before. And I think it'll get worse the more desperate these people get. And the other thing is this, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a mature male. This is just despicable to see a creature up there that old that can't give it up to a young, vibrant, capable person who's able to take on a heavy load. It's just shameful. Everywhere we look outside of Trump, in my opinion, is just something doesn't make sense, Kevin. It's irrational. It's illogical. It's unfounded. Anyway, that's my broad sweeping.
There you go. Broad and sweeping. Sweep off the driveway, would you please? For those of you that have snow in your driveway. Let's go to Steven. Steven, it's our wall-to-wall free-for-all. What do you want to talk about today?
Kevin, I wanted to talk about the article I just finished reading. I'll refer people to it if they'd like to look at it. It's from The Hill. It's FBI's top lawyer believed Hillary Clinton should face charges, and that is James Baker. He had some discussion with Mr. Comey right before Comey said that made a decision without more counsel of some of the other attorneys. But then in the article they have a quote as Comey in the last sentence. Comey has said that he took his actions because he thought, quote, they were in the country's best interest. So, folks, if you're wondering why Hillary's not being prosecuted, and I'd like to thank this radio station and Alex Jones for explaining to me how Comey's involvement, of course, Comey was the bag man of the uranium with the Russians. So he thought that it was in the best interest of the country if nobody knew that he was even and Hillary were even involved in the sale of the uranium. So that's why she's not getting prosecuted, because Comey, who was in it knee deep, thought that it was best in the country's best interest to, for the country not to learn what was going on.
You know, when you see stuff like this on the Hill or in Politico or other rags like that, you know, suddenly a story gets legs, and a story that maybe a lot of people were overlooking. I keep wondering when the Senate, controlled by the Republicans, is going to call Hillary back up, subpoena her, and have her testify. That would be dynamite. By the way, tomorrow on the show, we will have gone through 3 weeks tomorrow. Week number 3 of the 80th Nevada Legislature. How much bad stuff can they do? Well, we're finding out. We already found out with SB, what is it? The gun background bill. SB 143, SB 43, I forget. We are starting to see that the Democrats are very serious about rolling back all the good stuff that we did back in 2015 and 2016. We are starting to find out exactly, you know, the good stuff we did and how it can all be rolled back. You want to talk about elections having consequences? We are about to see what type of consequences we're talking about. And it's sad. It is sad that that's what it comes down to. It is sad that we got people in Carson City who want to undo every good thing. PERS, education, all of it. By the way, this hour of Live and Local Now brought to you in part by Ichabod's Lounge. Featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere, it's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing cash giveaways and payouts. You thinking about what to do for lunch? Hey, try Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. That's going to just about do it for us today. Tomorrow, we'll take a look back at 3 weeks of the Nevada legislature, the 80th Nevada legislature. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll try and do it all tomorrow. Daniel Honcharu, our eyes and ears in Carson City, will join us. Yeah. Also, Rico Aller, the owner of Carson Insulation in Mount House. We talk with people all across the state every day, and we're going to continue to do that. Until we join you next time, I'm Kevin Wall. Make the most of the rest of your day, live and local, now. I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, a social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.